Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where we really do talk about and think about and care about duty, honor, and country, especially on today, Monday, November 11th, 2013. Today is Veterans Day, and that's what we're going to talk about. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight we are going to talk about the American Veterans and what Veterans Day is all about. And I put the question out there, and this is because I was talking to a veteran, and Tom Pastore, he may call in tonight, I'm not sure. We were talking about Veterans Day, what it means, Memorial Day, and then what it is, you know, what the veterans were fighting for and stuff. And so, yeah, it just got to me that I thought, you know, we need to talk about the American veterans. What did they die for, and what did they fight for? Because right now, I think there's something that's just not right with what's happening today. What they have done over the years, have, you know, World War One, World War Two, and the various wars that have gone on. But then, when you look at some of the other things, and especially what's happening today, These individuals are being sent all over the world to, in theory, protect somebody else, and yet we're not they're not allowed. excuse me, they're not allowed to defend the homeland. Isn't there something wrong when America's military is defending everybody else except the homeland? And people have to understand, we are being invaded right now. There is a takeover of this country underway. And this, it's not a conspiracy. If you think it's a conspiracy, go watch Dennis Michael Lynch's video, They Come to America. They come to America, the true cost of amnesty, and then you see what's really happening on that southern border. But it's not just the southern border. It's all over this country. The southern border is one of the easiest places to see it happening, but it's not just happening there. And, you know, people think that if you want border security, you don't want to help Mexicans get jobs. And that is so crazy. That's not what this is about. It's illegal for them to come in no matter what. If you believe in our Constitution, you believe in the rule of law, what they did was illegal. Yes, it's a crime to be illegal. Yes, it's a crime to enter the country illegally. That's what it is. And it's not, but in the overall scheme of things, when we talk about border security and immigration, it's about security, securing this homeland. We have got people all over the world who don't like us, who are more than happy to see us send Americans over to Iraq and wherever to get shot and killed over there, while they come in through our southern borders, through any of the borders we have wide open, and invade this country. You know, and you would think after 9/11 that people might have woke up a little bit. You think after something like the Boston Massacre thing, people would have woke up a little bit. You think of the thing with Fort Hood would kind of wake people up. There is an invasion going on in this country right now. And where is our military? Where are the American veterans? And, I mean, I would just have to ask, and this is a question I put out there to any veteran, active or, you know, retired from the service, any veteran out there, tell me, when you signed up, enlisted, and took that oath for the Constitution to defend America, what did you think you were going to do? Did you think it was more important to go over there and kill people in Afghanistan, or was it more important to secure the border and stop the invasion of this country? Were you really interested in defending the United States of America, or were you interested in defending Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, all that over there? All the commotion going on over there while our own homeland is being attacked and destroyed. Please tell me, what were you thinking when you went into the service to protect this country, to defend, be part of the national defense and the military of the United States of America? Did you sign up, did you enlist because you thought it was important to protect Iraq while we have our own homeland being invaded? Excuse me. Because I really want to know that question. what were you fighting for? What were you, the American veteran, fighting for? And what did many, many, many millions of American veterans die for? What was it? And do you think, what do you think of today's military? Do you think we're doing the right thing? You've been out there. You know what's going on. Do you think we're protecting the homeland, or do you think we're destroying the homeland? Because right now, through no fault of the enlisted people, they're just doing as they are told by the commander-in-chief, whatever you want to call that person, which includes the last one who was in there as well. They're doing as they are told, but I have to say, as a person of the national defense, of the military, the veterans of this country, where is your loyalty? Is your loyalty to the homeland first, or did you sign up and enlist so you could go over to Iraq and get shot at over there and kill and defend those people while our homeland is invaded? Our homeland is being invaded, and our military and our veterans are off someplace else. This is sick, people. This is sick. This goes back to the same old thing that, you know, George Washington said, we need to defend and protect our homeland. It is not the job of the United States of America to go out there policing the world and try to convert every country, especially the Middle Eastern countries, into being democracies or republics. We are a republic. Sometimes people forget that. But that isn't what they want to do. So while we're over there trying to brainwash these other societies into changing their style to be more like us, they're coming over here and invading and taking over our literally the war on Christianity. What they are, Sharia, taking over our rule of law, taking over our Constitution, removing God from this country. They are taking over our homeland while we're over there playing games in their homeland. There's something seriously, seriously wrong. And I'm telling you, here it is. It's Veterans Day, the day that we honor those who sacrificed. Many sacrificed with their lives, many sacrificed with their time, and many came back wounded and sacrificed in other ways. And I'm like saying, while I respect the military to me nth degree, and I thank God we have a strong military, even though there's some trying to destroy that too, I feel sad that these American veterans, the military, isn't allowed to protect America. When are we going to have the American military protect America? And, I mean, you can say, oh, they're strategic. You got to be scattered about here and this and that, and somehow this is all protecting us here. And we took the war over there instead of here. The war is on this homeland right now. What is happening with the massive invasion of the Muslim Brotherhood and Chinese nationals and others, not to mention the illegals that come in here across the southern border for the jobs, so they say. But we also have a Hispanic La Raza group that wants to take back America. But I hate to, La Raza, I don't think you guys are nearly up to the task of what the Muslim Brotherhood is doing to this country. If you had any sense, you would join with Americans and protect America from these Muslim Brotherhoods who are destroying Christianity, Christians, Jews, the rule of law. You will have no rights. People don't seem to understand. The Muslim Brotherhood don't believe in human rights. They believe all Christians should be dead. All Jews should be dead. Women have no rights. It's okay to stone a woman to death. It's okay to rape a woman to death. These are all things that Sharia and the Muslim Brotherhood believes in. And yet we are standing here letting them come in and destroy our homeland while we have our military all over the world fighting other wars. It's nuts. It's treason. Can we say treason? These American veterans are not the ones committing treason. It's those in public office who have never seen a day on the battlefield. And I'm not a veteran. My father was, but I'm not. I have never done that. But I'll tell you one thing. What I see happening to my own country, what I see my own government doing to destroy this country, and this is on both sides of the stupid aisle, it's disgraceful. And I'm telling you the other aspect of this, and I hate to say this on Veterans Day, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. And I'm using Fort Hood as the example. because of the crap we have in public office today, the crap we have in that White House, the crap we have in these two houses of Congress, and at the local levels, we have a military that is truly being taken over by such as the Muslim Brotherhood. There was a time. There was, 5 years ago, I would have said the military, the American military, will always defend the American people. It will never, never be taken under the life of a King Bush or a King Obama, that they would never be taken over. But right now, what has happened to this military, it's been thinned down by those who truly believe. It's been taken over by the likes of the Muslim Brotherhood, Fort Hood. Fort Hood was terrorism, even though the treasonous person in that White House will never say that. Fort Hood was an act of terrorism and treason against the American people. That was our military. Our military did it, allowed it to happen. They knew it was happening, and they did nothing. Yet, they're sending people over to fight in Iraq to get shot. It's sick. It's absolutely sick. And I just don't believe the majority. Now, of course, the Muslim Brotherhoods that are getting into our military because of all the other games going on, who hate America. I mean, can you imagine your enemy is part of your military? Come on, people. And when you see that's going on, but I still believe today the majority of those in our military, the United States military, are true believers in the Constitution and want to defend the people. But I also think there's been a substantial amount of infiltrators who have gotten in there who want to destroy this country, just like the guy at Fort Hood. And what are we doing about it? And I'm just saying, I don't think this is what most Americans enlisted for. And I really want to know what the American veteran thinks. What was it when you signed up and enlisted to defend your country, to take that oath, what did you think you were fighting for? And do you think, what kind of pride do you have in what you did? You may have done the best job you could and you were following the orders and those kind of things, and which is all very honorable and loyal, and we admire the fact that you've done this for us. But when you think about what they did to you, what that commander-in-chief did to you, where that commander sent you, do you believe in what you were doing? Is that what you wanted to risk your life for? When you went into the service, is that what you thought you were fighting for? Is that what you were risking your life for? Yes, I want to die to keep Afghanistan there filled with poppy seeds. Or poppy fields, I should say. The heroin industry. That's what I want to die for. I'm going to go in the military so I can go over there and protect them from the drugs, because we need more drugs in the United States. That's what everybody signs up for the military for, right? It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And yet today, and when you get back to the homeland, let's talk about American veterans on Veterans Day and on Memorial Day and what we've done to these days. I mean, there are some of us that truly take it as a moment to reflect on what has happened, what these people died for, what they fought for, and what's happening in our country today, to think about the history and what this country is all about. But time and time again, it's more about a stupid football game. It's about a sale. Mattress is on sale. Whatever it is, whatever kind of nonsense, something on sale. I mean, I will say there are some, and I'll try to pull up a list. There was, of course, it's probably too late today to do anything with it, but there are various organizations out there, restaurants and things, that are giving free meals and things to our military to honor them and show some respect to them for what they've done. And I think it's the right thing to do. But when you think about the overall Memorial Day, everybody thinks of Memorial Day as a day to have a barbecue. And Veterans Day, yeah, you have a flag out. And then you'll watch a football game or something else. But is that what it's really about? And I really want to know. And while I'm putting this message out there tonight, on any of the regular shows, Monday and Thursday shows, the veterans that hear this message, either tonight or some other time when you might be listening via the archives, if you want to share your experience in the military, if you want to share whether you think we were doing the right thing, if you want to share that, yes, you put your life on the line for the right thing or for the wrong thing, please call in. I would really like to know what you're thinking. Because right now I really want, as an American who pays tax dollars for military and believes that the military is something Washington, D.C. is supposed to do, not all the other crap with EPA and everything else they get into, but the military is, so the federal government is supposed to provide for national defense. And I don't have a problem supporting, with my tax dollars, the national defense. But I want national defense. Going over in the Middle East is not national defense. If you're going over there, and some, don't ask me what the scenario would be, why you'd be over there, because George Washington strongly was against it, and I believe George Washington was one of the most brilliant of the founding fathers. He truly is my favorite. The more I know about him, the more I like him. But I like several of them. Jefferson's a great guy. You know, I mean, the wisdom of these founding fathers was amazing. But Washington told us time and time again to stay out of the business of others, to be good neighbors routine versus going over there and picking and choosing who you're going to fight with. But what gets me, and yeah, I mean, if we feel the need to get involved in some worldwide, and I, you know, I do believe there's going to be another world war kind of thing, and we have a role in that world war as a key power to it, and obviously to protect our homeland, that is protecting our homeland. But there's something seriously wrong when we've got troops all over the Middle East when we won't even secure our own homeland. Our own homeland is under attack. We are being invaded. And the likes of, you know, you think about a John McCain, who was a veteran and was a POW, and you think, what happened to you? Why are you surrendering our homeland, Mr. McCain? Why do you no longer care about it? Don't you care about this homeland? What happened to you? I don't understand what you've done. It makes no sense. You've lost it. You have lost it big time. And you say, well, you have to let the Hispanics in over the border. I don't want any illegals coming in over the border. I don't care where they come from. But the truth of the matter is, it's not the Mexicans who are the biggest threat. Do you, Mr. McCain, not understand about the Muslim Brotherhood? Oh, wait a minute. That was you taking a group photo with them, wasn't it? And you're supposed to be one of our most treasured, honored veterans out there. And yet you've turned in nothing but a traitor. You're a treasonous traitor, Mr. McCain. You know, in the time when you did your service, you were honorable in it and what you did. But today, you're a treasonous traitor to this country. Washington either brainwashed you, or who knows, or the political parties have corrupted you to the point you no longer work for this country. You no longer believe in the Constitution. And you're despicable. And I really used to have so much respect for you. I really did. But it seemed, and that was before the days of you running for the presidency with Bush. I don't know what happened to you in those years, but you've lost it. You're as anti-American as they get. But you are a veteran. Any veteran who goes and turns treasonous traitor like you doesn't get my respect. But I do thank God that most American veterans are not that way. But I do fear that the veterans, our military, are not allowed to protect us. Well, I just took a quick look over in that chat room to see if damn mad Granny Taff was there. Looks like she still doesn't have that phone fixed, but just so you know, she's out there. And let's see here. Phone not fixed yet. Have another phone, but there's no difference. 830, still same area code. If I knew, I can't. Okay. Well, anyway, you can put your thoughts out there. When it comes to today's veterans, today, what are we celebrating today? It's not a celebration. It's a period of mourning. It's a period of respecting and honoring those who sacrificed. But I'm just telling you, when I see everything that's happening in our country today, and I'm like, okay, so you will put the uniform on to defend America so that we could have common core communism, the massive takeover in communism at the school level. Is that what you went in the military for? Really? I don't think so. Did you go in there so that we have a federal government that sells us off to the United Nations? What were you fighting for? Did you die for? I don't think this is it. I truly think the American veterans have been robbed of what they were supposed to be doing. And let's see, speaking of death, here's this one. Let's see if I can find these numbers out here. How many, the war on terrorism, let's talk about the numbers. And this is where how many Americans died someplace else, not dying here on the homeland. And, I mean, we can talk about the logistics and the strategies and whatever else of taking the battle to the other home, to the other field, and not having it on the homeland. You know, keeping it over in the Middle East routine, as Bush was always saying. But by doing that, it makes Americans totally blinded to what's really happening, to really understanding what's happening, not to mention it leaves our homeland insecure. Okay, the War on Terrorism in numbers. This is a website, what's it called here? This website, I was doing a search on the War on Terrorism. ONI, ONI.EU is the name of this website. Okay, the War on Terrorism in numbers. The 9/11 attacks resulted in 2,996 casualties. Those who died in the towers, or as a result of the tower attack, or the various devastations of the towers, but 9/11 attacks, which included 343 firefighters, 59 police officers who were trying to save the victims in the World Trade Center. The war on terrorism was launched by George W. Bush, Jr., and has led to 227,000 people, some say more than 300,000, the deaths. This includes 116,657 civilians. 51% of the deaths on the war on terrorism have been civilians. And then between 76 and 108,000 insurgents or Taliban Islamists, 34 to 36%. 25,297 Iraqi and Afghan soldiers, 11%. And then 8,975 Americans, British, and other coalition forces, 3.9. Now the 8,975. I was thinking that number was actually closer to 10,000 now, but I'm not sure. But anyway, these are the people who have died in the war on terrorism. And I'd have to ask the American people, how much safer do you feel today? Do you feel like the war on terrorism has been effective? Do you somehow feel safer because the war is going on someplace else as you believe it to be? Well, I can tell you my own experience going through the security at the airport, the commotion they go through, I don't truly believe is as effective as they somehow think it is. TSA, everything to do with TSA, I don't believe. I mean, do you need security at the airports? Yes. Do we have the right kind of security? I don't think so. And we've seen the harassment of those who weren't the terrorists while the others slide on by. So, no, I don't feel safe at the airports. And then when you think about the various things that have happened, the Boston Massacre and these kind of things, it seemed to be more of a matter of luck than it was of any kind of true national defense that protected us. I mean, in reality, there was no protection for what happened in Boston. Could it have been worse? Well, yeah, but at the same time, these, I personally believe, this is just my opinion based on what I see going on in this whole country and in this world, these people who were doing their pressure cooker bomb things, that was a test. That was an experiment. They got a few people involved to see how much they could do. How many people were truly involved in the whole plan of it? And plus, these people had been back and forth overseas, and nobody said anything about it. They were testing the fact that there's no homeland security in the United States. We've got military all over the world, but no homeland security. But even though we have a fancy department costing us billions of dollars that we didn't need. And I never did support the creation of homeland security when you've already got the four branches of the military and the various intelligence agencies, not to mention the NSA, which is, again, attacking the American people, not the enemies. So there's just something very strange on a day like today. We're honoring those who fought for us, who sacrificed their lives because they believed in what America stood for, but they don't get to fight for America. It's really the way it is. And if you call in and you want to talk on the air, please make sure that you press 1. If you don't press the 1, I don't put you on the air because I think you're just listening. So please just make sure you push 1 if you want to speak on the air. And you're always invited. Now I know there's some Muslim Brotherhood who won't like what I'm saying. They'll call. I've had that happen. They've come up with their gibberish and whatever else. And so I either edit it out of the show or I just cancel the show for that time. It's one show. So that part doesn't really bother me. But I do want to, I felt the need today to take this time to talk about what it means to be a veteran, which, again, I'm not one, so I'm asking the question. And do you believe you sacrificed for the right things? Is this when you went into the service, is this what you were believing? And what do you think is happening to this country today? Do you believe that you're fighting to allow the United Nations to take over this country? Do you believe you're fighting for a White House that is so corrupt, so treasonous, so anti-American, it's destroying the foundation? And it's being done with the help of two houses of Congress. It could not happen without them. There is no, at this point in time, there's no one person in that White House who can do this alone. It's only because of the Progressive National Committee that has become Washington, D.C. And, yeah, I'm going to be really pushing this. In fact, I've been faxing it all over the place on a Glenn Beck magazine that they recently started doing. The cover of the magazine, it's a logo, a circle. In the middle of the circle, it's a two-headed creature. The left side is a donkey, and the right side is an elephant. Then around the circle, the logo is Progressive National Committee. And that's really what it is. We have a two-headed creature, the Progressive National Committee. And so I'm just putting it out there for everybody. RNC plus DNC equals PNC. That is what we have in office today. We have a Progressive National Committee today. We don't have a Democrat Party. We don't have a Republican Party. We have a Progressive National Committee. And there again I ask, is that what you were fighting for? Is that what you were fighting for? The other, in talking about Veterans Day, let's see here, a little bit of a history. It was, it started on the 11th hour, 11th day of the 11th month, 1918, is when they first came into the idea of Veterans Day, Remembrance Day. And this was declared, this was temporary cessation of hostilities was declared between Allied nations and Germany in the First World War, the Great War. Nobody thought that there would be another one like it, I guess, but yes, we know there have been, and there's going to be another one. I'm curious if anybody out there doesn't think there's going to be some other kind of world event, worldwide war, whatever it may be, but there's going to be some other major event. And then it became an official holiday in the United States in 1938 in the aftermath of World War II and the Korean War. So that's when Veterans Day was actually created. And a holiday dedicated to American veterans of all wars. And you think about it's a day of remembrance. But when so many people talk about it, and Memorial Day I would say more so than Veterans Day, but they're both are a time to reflect on what we sacrifice for, the fact that freedom isn't free, that we need to respect and honor those who protect us and defend us. Memorial Day, I mean, go out and talk to the average, high school, junior high, so high school kids, and ask them what's Memorial Day. And they say, it's a three-day weekend in the summer where you get to go have a barbecue, go to the beach. And, I mean, there's a certain part, celebrating freedom is one thing. But are you really celebrating freedom, or are you celebrating summer? Are you celebrating the freedom that you got because of those who sacrificed? And it just seems like when you think of these things, when you sit down and just have a heart-to-heart discussion, do some soul-searching of what our country, our society has become, and you think about these events that have happened, you just have to realize, or conclude, I should say, that we've lost something. We've lost the core American values. We don't seem to appreciate what it means to be free. And we don't appreciate the fact that freedom isn't free. While we have this massive, progressive national committee taking over this country, we are being converted into a bunch of serfs and we don't even know it. I saw something. I should have opened it up before I got on the show. This article about what it was said, the attitude of those, whether it was Hitler or somebody out in that time, saying, you're not going to be able to just go in and take over America. It's not like you're going to go battle America and they're just going to sit there and put their guns down while you blow their heads off and take over and convert them to a communist society. We're going to do it little by little and they won't even know what hit them. And that's where we are today. That's why I have shows called Communism in America, Communism in Florida, 2013. Our country is halfway there to being a communist society. The takeover is there. And we have all this military, but no one's protecting us. Not really. I mean, how are they protecting our rights, our freedom, when they're every place else? And part of that, it's two levels, protecting the homeland from this invasion, those who come into this country legally or illegally and then stay here illegally while they form their own armies to take over this country. Do you truly think there was only two individuals with the Boston Massacre? Do you truly think there was only two people who were out there thinking about doing something like that? Or do you not appreciate the fact there's a mob mentality behind them? Do you refuse to accept the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood believes all Christians should be dead? All Jews should be dead. Women should be raped and killed. This is their core. And yet we've got idiots over here in this country, mostly those in Washington, D.C., who go out there and say, okay, we're going to ship our military over there to convert these evildoers, evil by our standards. I mean, hey, if you live in a society that you think Sharia is correct and that women should be raped and stoned to death, whatever, I don't really think that's what God wanted, and that's definitely not what I believe. To think that the American people, the American military, is going to go over there and stop those people from that while you leave your own homeland defenseless? It's nuts. We have got some of the biggest treasonous traitors in Washington, D.C. And, I mean, I remember way back when the 9/11 happened and the different discussions we would get into about what's happening to this country, because I was already getting engaged in the public discussion. I had been in it for a few years when that all happened. And when you just look around, you have to say, it's the enemy from within. Not Al-Qaeda that's going to defeat us. It's the enemy from within who invites Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood to come in and destroy this country. Evil from within that sacrifices and gives up our sovereignty to the United Nations, gives up our money to the United Nations, gives up our historical landmarks, monuments to the United Nations. That is what is happening today. Veterans, is that what you were fighting for? Please tell me, is that what you were fighting for? What was your idea of freedom when you said you were willing to fight for it? When you were willing to die for it? What were you thinking? Because I don't think this is it. I really don't. And I'll tell you, it's just very sad. We have the greatest military, even though I don't know for how much longer we're going to have the greatest military because of those in Washington, D.C., those in public office across the board, because we have those at the state level, too. I mean, what Governor Rick Scott is doing to the state of Florida? How could anybody who believes in the Constitution ever vote for this guy or vote for Pam Bondi? I mean, okay, Pam Bondi went and jumped up and down and did her cheerleader routine when she went to the Supreme Court, fighting for Obamacare. She wasn't the one who started it. It was McCollum that started it, and she took off running with it. She wanted the limelight and the glory of having done that, which, fine, you're going to get some attention for doing the right thing. I don't care. I supported the fight on Obamacare. But when you look at everything else she's done, I have contacted Pam Bondi's office at least a dozen times in the past year on different events. I've sent emails, I've sent faxes. I never sent anything postal because they don't do much on that either. And I have called. No response. Pam Bondi doesn't care. She wants to be in the limelight. She wants to be a Fox News contributor when she grows up. I mean, isn't that what these people do? Oh, yes, well, once I get booted out of office, then I'll go be a Fox News or a CNN News or whatever, a contributor. And I'm like saying, you know, this is the other part that's pretty sick. When you think about Americans listening to the crap from these people, I mean, personally, I think you've got to be nuts if you listen to Karl Rove. I mean, Karl Rove got Bush elected, but he did it through some of the most evil and deceitful tactics you can imagine. He's a representative of what's wrong with America. But this is what the GOP believes in. This is what you think the American culture should be? It's like this guy? I mean, there's times when I hear him talking on Fox News, and once in a while you see him on some other show. But he's truly, he's got to be full-time. Lord only knows how much he gets paid by Fox News and the GOP, because they're kind of in cahoots there. You kind of wonder. Some of the things he says, I can agree with. It's not that I disagree with everything he says, but he is out there condemning the Tea Partiers, the grassroots Americans who believe in the Constitution. But that's what the GOP is. That's why the GOP is part of the Progressive National Committee. Neither the Democrats or the Republicans believe in the Constitution. In fact, let me check and see. I sent an email to my good old friend O'Reilly, and we'll see if I can find my copy of it here. This email that I sent to O'Reilly I labeled it, "Is it extreme to believe in the U.S. Constitution?" I happen to think that's a perfect question for today. Veterans, is it extreme to believe in the U.S. Constitution? Then my email to Mr. O'Reilly, which in all likelihood he'll never respond to, but I did keep it pretty short. I think I was pithy enough for him and whatever, but I'm sure he won't answer. Mr. O'Reilly, you continually treat Tea Parties as extremists, a.k.a. right-wing nutcases. The majority of Tea Parties, not the GOP parties, are constitutionalists. Does that make us extremists? Why is it extreme to believe in the Constitution of the United States? Why is it extreme to believe those elected and sworn to protect and defend our Constitution should abide by our Constitution? Why do you never talk about the Constitution when you talk about Tea Partiers and or the GOP partiers? If today's GOP would abide by our Constitution, there would be no dispute between the GOP and the Tea Partiers. These are the kind of things that Bill O'Reilly doesn't seem to understand. He doesn't seem to get it. But wait a minute. Let's see. He works at Fox News. And what was it the one person said? You know, he's kind of lost it. He's mellowed out into some kind of mush that whatever Fox News tells him to do, whatever the GOP. And we have to understand there's definitely a relationship between Fox News and the GOP. And the GOP is liberal progressive. It's part of the Progressive National Committee. So while Fox News is more conservative than CNN or MSNBC, that's really not saying a whole lot. And I really do believe the sad part is I feel sorry for those who listen to everything on Fox News and take it to heart like it truly means something without understanding the manipulation that can come by brainwashing people to think, well, you know, Fox News is conservative. If they're saying this, it must really mean something. Karl Rove is saying this must really mean something. O'Reilly is saying this must really mean something. Wait a minute. I'm asking this basic question to O'Reilly and to anybody else at Fox News or anybody else who has any backbone to answer it. Why is it extreme to believe in the Constitution of the United States? Because that's all Tea Partiers do, kind of the Constitution. They want the Constitution abided by, which, of course, means no Obamacare, regardless of what that crazy Supreme Court said. We all know Roberts had something else going on there. They must have threatened his life or something. Something had to happen to Roberts to go totally brain dead. Or then again, I mean, he was appointed by George Bush, and we know what the Bushes are, so whatever. But what is extreme about believing in the Constitution? What is extreme about the Enumerated Powers Act that has been, this bill was first presented, I think it was 1998, it was either 96 or 98, presented as a bill, the Enumerated Powers Act, and it has been presented every year in the Senate since then, and they will never pass it. And what is this bill? It means before we pass a new law, we're going to go and check it against the Constitution. We want to make sure the law meets the standards of the Constitution. You cannot get the senators to pass a bill like that. What does that tell you? And veterans, is that what you were fighting for? Is that what you risked your lives for? Is that what you were dying for? Or did you think the Constitution meant something? Because unless something's changed, which it could have, with the likes of the Fort Hood regime going on, it used to be, when you went into the military, you took a pledge to support and defend the Constitution. And because you were out of the military, it didn't mean you gave up that oath. No more than these maniacs are in public office today. But nobody honors their oath of office. I do believe the military honors it much more, their oath to their country. But when it comes to those in public office today, they're a bunch of frauds. The good old women law routine, the used car salesman. And you know what? kind of funny. I think I heard Glenn Beck say used car salesman today, which I thought was kind of funny because that's what I compared him to last week, and I think it's the truth. If you were dealing with these people, they're nothing more than a bunch of used car salesmen who will screw you over every which way and sell you a broken-down engine with nothing there, where you drive off a lot and the engine falls out on the ground. That's what these people are doing. They would all be charged with lemon law. They should be charged with lemon law because they're a bunch of frauds. But again, I'll get back to Mr. O'Reilly, and I'm hoping everybody that listens to this sends O'Reilly a similar email. Is it extreme to believe in the Constitution of the United States? And I find it even more interesting or hypocritical in some respects with Bill O'Reilly because he's out there, you know, writing these books on history. There's a book on with Jesus, a book with the Kennedy, with John F. Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, all these different books he writes in the name of history, in the name of research, yet he doesn't want to talk about the Constitution and the Tea Party. He doesn't want to talk about the fact that neither the RNC or the DNC embrace or enforce. Mr. O'Reilly, explain that to me. I don't get it. What are you thinking, guy? What are you thinking? I can't buy your books when I see what you do to totally trash a movement of individuals who believe in the Constitution. I mean, you can call me a Tea Party or a Constitutionalist, either one. But that's, I'm going by the Constitution. I'm going by what this country was founded on. Limited government, maximum freedom. And because I do that, the rule of law, and because I believe in that, Bill O'Reilly acts like I'm some kind of a nutcase? I'm sorry, Mr. O'Reilly, you're the nutcase. And I'll tell you that on the air if I ever get the chance, but I know I'll never get the chance, so that's okay. I'd even call in and just say it, whichever. But anyway, I personally don't think it's extreme to believe in the Constitution of the United States. It's Veterans Day, and I would hope everybody that's listening to this, whether you're listening to it on Veterans Day or through the archives, would actually go take some time and look at the Constitution. I would ask you to go look at the greatest commander-in-chief we ever had, look at the farewell address from the greatest commander-in-chief, which was George Washington. President George Washington, he was a major player in that revolution. He was a major player in the Constitution. He truly is the father of this country, and he told us, he warned us, he tried to teach us. And if you go by what George Washington, President Washington, said, and we would get back to that, and I don't care whether it's the Democrats who get back to it or whether it's the Republicans who get back to it, if we get back to that, our country will be saved. But if we're going to let the Progressive National Committee, a combination of donkeys and elephants, to continue on the path they're going now, just sign over everything to the United Nations because you will have no rights. Agenda 21, United Nations, One World Order, New World Order, as George Bush Sr. said, a New World Order. Surrender to the United Nations. The Rio Doctrine, 1992. This is real, people. For those of you who want to think this is a conspiracy nutcase, go research it for yourself. Go listen to the audio, YouTube, watch and listen to George Bush Sr. saying the New World Order. And the Bushes have a history of communism in their family. Jeb, John Ellis Bush, is out there promoting communist common core. George Bush Jr., Security Prosperity Partnership of North America. What does the military think then? Veterans, what were you thinking when George Bush Jr. said, we're not going to have any borders between Canada or Mexico. We're all one big nation, the North American Union. We're going to have one currency for all of us. We're not going to have no sovereignty. The United States of America has no sovereignty. Is that what you were fighting for? Is that what you believed? What kind of constitution was that? I keep kind of bouncing back and forth here, so let me go check and make sure nobody has pinged in to talk on the air as I'm bouncing around here. But anyway, the last words, Mr. O'Reilly, please, everybody listening out there, it's you can send it to O'Reilly@foxnews.com or go to his webpage, whatever, and send it to him. You continually treat tea partiers as extremists, a.k.a. right-wing nutcases, when the majority of Tea Partiers, not the GOP partiers, are constitutionalists. O'Reilly, explain to me why you're trashing the constitutionalists. Why do you trash the people who believe in the Constitution? Why do you treat people as extremists because they believe in the Constitution? Don't you believe in the Constitution? That's a good, I didn't ask him that question. Maybe somebody could ask O'Reilly, do you believe in the Constitution? Well, what part of it do you believe in? Bits and pieces? What's convenient to you? Explain. And when you talk about the Tea Parties and the GOP, when will you have the courage or the knowledge, maybe you don't understand, maybe you're lacking in that piece of it, when are you going to talk about the Constitution in relationship to the Tea Parties and the GOP Parties? The diehard GOPers like Karl Rove, he doesn't care about the Constitution. He might mention it once in a while when it's convenient with whatever he's doing on his board or something. But in the overall scheme of things, that is not his goal. The Constitution doesn't mean anything to the Republican Party these days. It doesn't mean anything to the Democrats either. That's why they're called the Progressive National Committee. But O'Reilly, it's disingenuous, and it's a fraud on your part to go out there, misrepresentation, whatever you want to call it, to go out there and act like the Tea Parties are these nutcases out there. Anybody that believes in the Constitution is a nutcase. That's what O'Reilly says. If you believe in the Constitution, you must be in that case. Well, if I'm that kind of, you know, obviously I don't need to read his books if that makes me a nutcase. Why would I want to believe anything he would write in his multi-books? But anyway, I don't think that, personally, I don't think there's anything extreme in believing in our Constitution. I think that's what we should all be doing, especially those who took a sworn oath to do. And I believe we should be holding them accountable to it. And we should have the Enumerated Powers Act passed, and every bill should have to be scrutinized against that Constitution before it goes any further. If it does not cut it with the Constitution, it goes into the shredder. But that's what would happen if we had true representation, not a tyrannical government that we have today, not the likes of a John McCain or a Lindsey Graham or Hillary Clinton, not these kind of nutcases out there. They're the ones that are the nutcases, if you ask me. That is my own opinion of them. Okay, let's see here. Now, I'm not sure exactly when Miss Texas put this out there. He's writing his version. He's putting it out there, what the UN wants America to believe to be the truth. His book on God is an attempt to turn Americans against Christianity. Gosh, I can only imagine who you're talking about. We all know who she's talking about, and that's the truth. We have a Muslim in the White House who is much more fond of Muslim Brotherhood people than Christians. But, you know, he couldn't say that. You think about the fraud that this guy truly is. Thank God I never voted for him. And thank God I did what I could to try to stop Obamacare and these things. But when you think about the fraud this guy is, he had to pretend to be an American to be elected. He had to pretend to be a Christian to be elected and also to cover for his Muslim Brotherhood Association. He had to pretend that he believed in improving health care for all, and you would get to keep your health care and your doctors and blah, blah, blah. This is all a way to control. This is a person who believes in communism. People keep saying socialism. No, this is the C word. Let's get back to what it really is, the C word. Communism. Communism as in common property. You are a mere token of the community, common community, and the government will tell you what to do, where you can live, and you work for the government. And the government will give you a couple of dimes left at the end of the week after you put in your 60 hours. Oh, by the way, forget that car. Personal transportation? not allowed. Personal home? To actually own your own home? You got to be joking. Why do you think they're building all these crazy, I call them communes, I'm not sure what you really call them, but these communities, these massive communities where everybody is packed into some kind of high-rise apartment, condo, whatever, because they are going to pack you. Not to mention the FEMA camps that are out there and those deep underground military bases, dumbs that are out there. If Americans do not wake up and see what's happening, and then the veterans too, I think the veterans, a lot of the veterans really know. I've talked to veterans when they talk about what they actually see, how they see things going down, and they see the treason. They're very loyal to their country. They're at the same time, they had to be subservient in some cases to prevent getting killed by our own government and being called some kind of traitor or whatever else if they went against what the commander-in-chief was doing, even though the commander-in-chief is the one who's treasonous. And I really want to know when we're going to finally get some people in Congress who will do something about it. Excuse me for that. Oh. Let's see. Stack on housing, 10 by 10. They have built some in San Antonio for the college students to live in. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's what you're going to live in. You're going to be given your living room, your space, and that's going to be it. This is just like the slaves used to live in. What do they call it when they had those different places for the slaves? That's where we're going. Communism in America is here. Are we going to let communism totally take over this country? Veterans, is that what you were fighting for? Veterans, is that what you died for? Veterans, what are you going to do to stop it? What are you going to do along with those of us willing to fight and defend this country? I'm going to go ahead and read, excuse me one second here. Going to go ahead and read my favorite, the American Creed, because I believe it's a good day to read it. And it does say what we are here for. It really does appreciate what people, what the veterans have fought and died for. Put us back, wait a minute, shouldn't we think about what we're doing here? Is this not the day to step back and think about what freedom is, the cost of freedom, and are we losing our freedom, even though there's all these people in the military who are sacrificing their lives to go out there and pretend to be protecting some other culture that has no desire to be like us, protecting cultures that are out to kill us. And it's not the veterans, not the military, the people themselves. It's the corruption of this government, the communist in Washington, D.C. And there's plenty of them. You've got Muslims who are in office today. And, you know, freedom of religion, I definitely believe in it. But when your religion is, when you practice a religion that says kill and destroy America, we've got a problem. Okay, The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. And this was written back in 1917 and accepted it by the House of Representatives in 1918, April 3, 1918. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. I agree. As an American, I take this creed. I believe in this constitution. I believe in a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. I don't think Rick Scott believes in that. Governor Rick Scott, what do you believe in again? What constitution are you reading? Because you keep selling us out. You keep pushing Common Core. I believe you were ready to cave in on that stand your ground thing. So, Governor Rick Scott, what party are you in again? Oh, yeah, you're a Republican. Yeah, you're a Republican. What do you believe in? Weren't you the guy who took the fifth on the stand when you were the CEO over all those healthcare places that were charged with massive Medicare fraud? Wasn't that you, Governor Scott? How did you get elected? Oh, yeah, you're in that GOP establishment stuff. You're a GOPer. Do you believe in the Constitution, Governor Scott? Do you believe in Florida's Constitution, or how are you trying to twist that around? Believe me, you'd have to be here in Florida to see all the garbage. You'd have to take the time to study to see all the garbage that's going on in Florida. And I'm telling you, it's just when you see it side by side, what is being done, the United Nations Agenda 21, ICLEI stuff, at this local level, and then you see what they're doing at the federal level. We have been sacrificed. These people in public office are destroying this country. It's the evil from within. It's not Al-Qaeda per se. It's the United States of America at the state level, at the federal level, that says, come on in, invaders. Come on in. Take over. We'll send our troops to another foreign country so you can come in and destroy America. And we won't have any defense. We won't have anybody here to fight you. So you can just have it. Take over. I'm telling you, if I'm exaggerating any of this, anybody who's listening is more than welcome to push that number one button and share your thoughts. I see the listeners. I just don't see the talkers out there. And, of course, we do know Miss Texas would be talking right now if she had that phone. She's been a little bit quiet in that chat room. We have to get her going out there. Go ahead and put your thoughts out there. But, I don't think you're disagreeing with too much of what I'm saying right now, so that part probably makes it a little bit rough on that one. I should say today I had to work, which working is a good thing. I had to deal with some other matters, and we'll continue to discuss them on another show. The saga of my father's estate and the crazy system, the crazy, whatever you want to call it, rule of law we have these days. It's so nutty. And if you don't laugh, you have to cry. But it's kind of interesting as I go through this whole process. I mean, my father passed away a little over a year now, and to see the evilness of those who would steal from a dead man. And they're being brought to justice. Some has happened with it, not as much as I would like to see happen to it. I don't think they've paid near the price, and of course one person is still building their defense, trying to get off the hook, if you will. So there's that, and then there's the evilness of others. And this is where the corporation comes into it. And again, stealing from the dead. And then you have the story I want to tell about Orange County Sheriff when this is all said and done. I'm going to play the audio on the air because I want you people to hear what a so-called seasoned investigator of Orange County Sheriff said. It's on public record, so I'm not like I'm telling you anything that you don't have the right to hear. If you knew to ask for it, you could request a copy of the audio. But I want you to hear the way a Orange County investigator spoon-fed the answers or directed the answers, trying to protect the criminal instead of going for the truth, just the facts and the truth. And then I say, okay, so veterans, what are you fighting for again? And here in Orange County, well, and I believe it's, I don't think it's just Orange County, Florida. I think it's across the country that all police, law enforcement, sheriff, officers, deputies, whatever, also take an oath to uphold the Constitution. Funny if you want to call it that. A while back when there was a Republican debate here in Orlando, the Orange County Convention Center, some of us were doing a sign waving, not participating in the debate. And because we were on a sidewalk, not in the designated zone, but on a public sidewalk, with a sign. We weren't even waving the sign. We were sitting down, taking a break, not waving the sign, not doing anything. There were two of us surrounded by six Orange County deputies. And I think two of them were on those scooter things, whatever. Circling around us. You're not allowed to speak here. You're not allowed to express your opinion. Free speech in America? No. Stand in a corner. You're allowed to speak in the corner. You're not allowed to speak anyplace else. You're not allowed to speak on the public sidewalk. Now, our being on that sidewalk, had we not had the signs or shirts that said something on them, we would have been allowed to be there. But because we exercise free speech, a T-shirt with a saying on it, Fire Congress, and the signs, we weren't allowed. This is America. Veterans, is that what you were fighting for? Is that what you risked your lives for? Is that what you died for? Excuse me. The other thing, as we did that, this Orange County Sheriff, this one guy, kind of a big guy, and I'm asking him, and I'm not trying to be insulting, I'm being honest and asking him this. I said, didn't you have to take an oath to uphold the Constitution when you became a deputy? Wasn't that part of it? And he refused to answer. He said, I'm not getting into those discussions. I said, why? You're a sheriff deputy. Why are you scared to talk about the Constitution? And then he walked away. And then, I don't think there's any Orange County Sheriff deputies listening to me right now. But if they were, they probably wouldn't be real happy with me, and I'd probably be getting tickets all over the place every time I drive any place. But then, in going to the court, this is the various events I've been going to, the different times I've made my trips to the courthouse for my father's estate, I was asking them something about identity theft. What was identity theft? This is outside the courthouse, just as you would, you know, right outside the main entrance to the courthouse, and I was waiting for someone to meet him there, and I saw these five or six Orange County Sheriff deputies hanging out, having coffee, talking to each other, yapping, you know, whatever, and I went over and I said, can I ask you guys a question? And as soon as I said that, you know, the expression about the cockroaches routine, half of them took off running. These are public officers, and I was at a courthouse, law enforcement. They're law enforcement officers, and as soon as I wanted to ask a question, they took off running. And then I there was a couple of them that stayed. I would say three of them stayed, and then as I got into this conversation, and I tried to explain to these law enforcement officers that Florida was number one in identity theft and number one in property theft. One guy left. He didn't want to hear it. I'm in law enforcement. I don't want to hear about crime. What do you want me to do about it? I mean, this is the attitude you get. And in the past, I've had a lot of respect for Orange County Sheriff if they're going the way of the other craziness in this country. And then the older guy, the older deputy, he continued to talk to me, and he gave me some ideas on some things to check on, whatever. And, you know, we discussed it and whatever. And it, you know, we had a discussion. And it was fine. And I did comment to him. I said, too bad your other deputies there were too afraid to talk about this. Why were they afraid to talk about it? And, of course, he wasn't going to say much on that, but that was okay. But I said, you know, it's too bad. law enforcement doesn't want to talk about enforcing the law. Isn't there something funny about that? It's sick to me, but, you know, laugh or cry. So the other story that's all going to come out of this stuff when I'm finished is about local law enforcement. You know, I just, in my wildest dreams, and, you know, truly this started back in 2005 when my oldest brother went missing. He's still missing. We still don't know. And I'm like, why would I have any respect for this law enforcement? It's sad. And there's so much more to this. And I don't know whether to make a sitcom or to put some kind of alert, people, you know, beware. And we're going to see some other stuff coming in the next couple of days of what law enforcement really is and the evildoers out there. It's just, and I'm like, this is the greed. And everybody that knows me knows in reference to it's my father, who died a year ago. He lived in a double-wide mobile home in a senior citizens park. And he had two live-in caregivers. And I did try to work out a deal to let the caregivers buy the mobile home, but anything less of me giving it to them, they really weren't happy with it. And they wanted me to be their banker and finance it for them and all this other stuff. And I said, no, I couldn't do that. And we're talking less than $5,000. And so they proceeded to do these other things to literally steal the mobile home. But they, again, you have to see how this whole thing happened. And when all this was happening, I initially had said, before I even talked to them about them buying it or anything else, that I was maybe thinking it would be a good thing to donate it to a veteran. Because it's located in the senior citizens park and things, and it just seemed like it might be something good that could help. I don't have a lot of money to donate, and this is something I could do. I didn't need to live in the mobile home myself. I have my own home. So I thought this would be the good thing to do. And it was so interesting as I talked to different groups, Habitat for Humanity, Wounded Warriors, a local citizen, senior citizens group here in Orlando, and some other, and eventually the VFW. I did eventually find somebody in the military, the VFW, who was going to help me find a veteran for it. But when it came to Wounded Warriors, and you tell me, Wounded Warriors is wonderful. They've done so many things. But I have to say, their attitude was, sell the mobile home and give us the money. They didn't want to give a veteran a home. They wanted money. Money, money, money. And there again, I'm like, seeing what's happening to this culture. And I'm like, is this what you fought for? Is this what you risked your life for? Is this what you got your limbs blown off for? Is this what you died for? Is this the America you were trying to save and protect? I don't think so. I really don't. Is this anything like the America the founders created? I don't think so. And yes, Ms. Texas, thank you. She's put out there, you're doing such a great job. Thank you. And I'm agreeing with every word. I kind of had a feeling she'd be agreeing on this one. And so it's just, it's interesting what I have seen in the process, what I see happening to this country. And because we have a school system that does not want to teach history, I really do, thank God, that we've got Ron Paul out there pushing the homeschooling initiative. And he says that, I mean, I just agree with what he says on it. In his knowledge on what's happened with the Federal Reserve, the Constitution, do I agree with every single thing Ron Paul says? Of course not. But when you listen to him and you understand his knowledge of the Constitution and what this country, the history, everything, the Federal Reserve, you realize we need more people like that who truly embrace what America is about. And he was in the military. He fought for this country. He's also a doctor. He doesn't like Obamacare. And he explains why homeschooling is so important. And, you know, it was these various programs, government programs that come up, so many times start out with the best of intentions, but then when you put them up to the test of the Constitution, and then you realize what the true intention was, the manipulation and the destruction, the takeover of this country. And, I mean, I went to public school, so, you know. But when I went to public schools, they really did teach history. They did actually teach the Declaration of Independence. They did teach the Constitution. But they don't do that today. And I'll tell you, one other thing that I saw on one of the talk shows, I think it was called the Washington Journal on Fox News on Sunday. I think that was it. And I'm sure if you do a search, the lady who was over the Washington, D.C. schools, and she had done such a great job of bringing them up, and she got chased out of town or whatever. Michelle Rhee, I think is her name, if I remember correctly. She was on there, and she's now in Tennessee. And they're boasting about how Tennessee has done so much better. That lady is pushing Common Core. And I'm telling you, I am going to go out there, whether it's going to be tonight or this week or whenever, and I would ask others to do the same. Go out there and look it up. And what was her organization called? Something about Students First or something to do, but Michelle Rhee, I think is her name. But she was the one from the Washington, D.C. school board. She got bumped or bounced out of Washington, D.C., and now she's in Tennessee doing something there. And she's out there pushing Common Core. And I'm like, how much did she get paid to push Common Core? How much funding did she get either from John Ellis Bush's association or Bill Gates' association? What did that lady get to be out there pushing Common Core? Never in my wildest dreams did I think she would be pushing Common Core, but she is. So anybody listening who understands that Common Core education is truly the promotion of communism, the indoctrination into communism, that you should go out there and check it out, what she's doing, and see that she is saying this. Ms. Tessis, did you ever hear of that? And then I say, Common Core communism, is that what you were fighting for? Is that what you sacrificed for? Tell me. I don't think it is. I truly don't. And on that note, let's see, what other interesting thing? I'll go back to this history. See if I can find it. What other history was there? Let's see. The Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919. November 11th remained the public imagination as the date that marked the end of the Great War. Guess who was president then? Oh, yeah, Woodrow Wilson. And he was the one who first proclaimed November 11th as the Armistice Day. And the day's observation included parades and public gatherings. It was also something, and unfortunately, it looked like Tom Pastore is going to be able to call in, but he was a Vietnam protester kind of thing. He was a veteran. He did his job, but he was not for the war. He didn't believe it was right. And they participated in a parade in New York, parade for America parade, America's parade or something, and it was a big thing to do with veterans as well. Yeah, I don't want to go and try and explain the whole story, but it was really interesting because a group of anti-Vietnam War veterans were in the parade. And they were apparently, some on the sidelines were told to turn their backs on them. It's kind of an interesting thing, but I'm not doing the story justice. So I'll wait until he's on one time to talk about it. But he, I was talking to him earlier, he was really talking about the fact that American lives are being killed all over the planet, except here on the homeland, defending the homeland. And it's just not right. And he was getting, you know, explaining a little bit too, and he's perfectly right. I totally agree. Why are we trying to convert a Muslim society into a free society? This isn't what they want. Their whole goal is to destroy it, kill Americans, kill the Jews, kill the Christians, destroy America. So why do we keep aiding the enemy? Is that what you signed up for? Is that what you enlisted for? To aid the enemy to destroy America. And I don't for a minute, with the exception of a few of the loose cannons that are more and more prevalent today, like the Fort Hood thing, I don't believe the majority of those who enter the military are doing it for that reason. But that is the outcome. Our military is being used against us. Just like the Progressive National Committee that has taken over Washington, D.C. No one is protecting us. Our own military isn't protecting us. When are we going to have Americans protecting America? Is that really such a crazy idea? Maybe that's another one I should send to Mr. O'Reilly. Is it extreme? Are you an extremist? And is it extreme to believe the United States military should defend the United States? Does that make me an extremist? I bet it does to O'Reilly. And again, those listening, please send an email to O'Reilly. Send it to a lot of them, but I'm focusing on O'Reilly because I'm telling you, I get so sick of listening. And I don't even watch this whole show anymore. I can't hardly stand to. But you get these bits and pieces of it, where he's out there interviewing somebody, talking about the Tea Party. And, of course, who else was out there this weekend? Good old New Jersey, Chris Christie. And the nonsense, the political spewing that they have, the rhetoric, it's just foaming at the mouth garbage. And you get, I really don't know if Chris Christie was ever in the service. Does anybody know if Chris Christie was in the service? I don't think he was. He's an attorney, so that pretty much puts him in line with used car salesman. But he was out there, so much garbage. You know, he was talking but not saying a thing. What would you do about amnesty? And it was Chris Wallace. I heard Chris Wallace asking about the amnesty. Well, I would like to fix a broken system. We agree it's broken. No, it's not broken. It's not enforced. Enforce the current laws. And we don't have an immigration problem. But these people can't do that. And I'm like saying, okay, these people are promoting the invasion of this country because they want some Hispanic votes. Well, wait a minute, they want the illegal votes. Who is it they're working for again? Chris Christie, who do you work for? What constitution is it that you're looking at? Well, now, obviously, it's New Jersey. Lord only knows what's in that New Jersey state constitution. Do you ever reference the U.S. Constitution? And I was looking at the U.S. Constitution, trying to get into the immigration piece of it. And it was kind of interesting what I was seeing. And I remember on one of the shows, one of the American Freedom Watch radio shows, where there was a guest on, and she was talking about the Constitution leaves immigration to the states. And it's kind of interesting the way it's worded out there. Maybe I should pull up this Constitution and read this, pull up that section of it where it talks about immigration, citizens of the state. If you're a citizen of the state, you are a citizen of the country kind of thing. And if you're born in the country, you are automatically a citizen. And these other pieces of it. And I remember her saying it's not the federal government who determines immigration, it's the states. And it was kind of weird because I saw that, and there's a part of me that says, well, that's actually kind of neat when you think about it. But then it's also kind of scary because now, Florida, Texas, definitely California. California would go out there and say that everybody was an American. It didn't matter. A Muslim Brotherhood, come on in. Come on in. Sit here. Okay, you're an American. You touched American soil, so you're an American. Go vote for me. And then go blow our heads off right after that. Okay, now I'm going back to what News Texas says. Nope. Don't know that I... Oh, I think I was asking you a question about Michelle Reed, and so nope, you don't have the info on that one. I think that's what that question was. That was a while back. The only reason the kids are going better is because they aren't really being educated. They are being indoctrinated into being worker bees. That's exactly it. Hey, annoying peasants, I see you out there. Please join in. Okay, and all of the above, they will rewrite voting laws, and these laws will contradict the Constitution. We're seeing that everywhere. Good evening. And please feel free to share your thoughts. Obviously, this is Veterans Day, and we're talking about veterans. Are you a veteran, annoying peasant? Are you a veteran by any chance, or do you have any veterans in your family? And as the topic of the day says, what were they fighting for? Do you believe what America is today is what they risked and sacrificed their lives for, or do you think somehow we've lost our way? And you're more than welcome to call in as well. I better click over here real quick. Okay, no one's hit that one button. People don't want to talk tonight. That's okay. Okay, so you're not a veteran with us. That's quite all right. I'm just curious to know what you think about what are the veterans fighting for, what were they fighting for, what have they died for. Are they proud of what our country has done in the name of national security and protecting the homeland? We definitely have lost our way. It's so true. We have lost our liberties. So true. And public, Common Core public education routine is only going to make it more so. And I'm telling you, there's part of me that is extremely optimistic because I believe so many Americans have woken up. Obamacare, who knows, maybe in some weird way, Obamacare will have been the biggest great awakening of anything. The question is, when we talk about, and Obamacare is the massive, massive communistic takeover of this country. It's kind of like all these other things they've been doing, even with Common Core, it's been nibbling away. It's little by little taking over different areas of the country, the states, and things like that, where Obamacare is like this massive pie in the face. You're a communist now. I control you. King Obama is in charge. You are a peasant, and you will do as we say. You will not have a car. You will not have a home. You will do as we tell you, and you will do the job we assign to you, and you'll have enough food to live, and that's it. You will not have any rights, no individual sovereignty whatsoever. So I really do think possibly Obamacare has been the massive, massive awakening. And again, I want to say, when you think of what's happening with it, today's Veterans Day, and right now, in my own case, because I do have my health care through a job, it's not being impacted like it will be next year, once their mandate, their year, their waiver for the year routine runs out. And we have the other 50 million so Americans who are no longer have health care. When I think about this, what's happening here, this massive communistic takeover of individual rights, where government is going to tell you what kind of medicine and everything else, and totally taking over your identity and your personal information, which, that thing about, the right to be secure in your papers, that part of that Constitution, that doesn't mean anything anymore either. And you see all this happening, and I said, okay, veterans, is this what you were fighting for? And with Obamacare, the massive outrage that is coming, all these people who voted for Obama and thought that, well, we just want to make sure the those who don't have health care are protected. You know what? If you truly believe that way, all you had to do was go donate money to a local. If you saw a sick person, help them out, give them some medication, do whatever. You could have donated and taken care of it locally, if that's what your concern was. But to go and say you're just going to hand our rights over to the federal government to control our bodies now, it's crazy. But you did that, but you didn't truly appreciate how it was going to really hurt you. You thought, oh, well, this is just, I'm going to pay some more taxes to give somebody else free health care. And they deserve it. Everybody has a right to health care. I don't remember health care ever being listed in the Constitution. That's that enumerated powers thing again. Gosh, what would happen if we actually passed the enumerated powers bill and they would have actually looked at the Constitution before they did Obamacare? I wonder what would have happened. And veterans, is this what you were fighting for? And Art, what is going to happen when, because this is going to get much messier, the GOP, we'll see how smart or stupid the GOP is. If the GOP has a brain, which I don't know that it does, they will not touch anything with Obamacare from this point forward. They will not let anything get changed. The massive uproar and the protest of this whole country take over. Look, Obama, he can't even lie good anymore. The lies, the used car salesman thing of him, it's coming through, and now people are going to question him even more and more. And you know, Obama, it's kind of interesting. And I'm not a person who studies mannerisms or behavior, you know, the communication, the way people move around and respond and stuff. But when you watch Obama and you see him twitching, he is twitching so much now. He knows that he's lying outright and that nobody believes him. Before, he was lying, but he thought he was brainwashing. When his brainwashing, lying is a successful brainwashing, you can keep your doctor routine and all this stuff. He was okay. He was sounding great. But now he knows that people don't believe him. People know he's a liar. And you can see it in his demeanor. His whole demeanor, he's not used to being rejected. He's used to having a media that covers it every which way for him. And a progressive culture that is willing to support communism. Most Americans don't support communism. So now they're understanding. And we've got to keep really putting that word out there. Please, as you're listening to this, communism, the C word, this is what is happening. The communist takeover of the United States of America. Obamacare is a major piece of it. It's not the only. Common Core is the other. Wait a minute, we dumb them down, we indoctrinate them, we brainwash them into believing communism is good. Common property, everybody is equal. Well, we're all equal, but we're not all the same. Equal rights means you have the right to go get as rich as you want to by working, following the rules, or if you want to be a deadbeat bum, go live on the beach, whatever. If you want to go swim with the sharks, go swim with them. You know, equal to do be as stupid as you want to be or be as hardworking as you want to be. Equal does not mean you are guaranteed the rights to take my income because you're too lazy to work. The enemies from within, totally. And Annoying Peasants been putting some other comments out here. Common Core indoctrination, absolutely. Centralization of authority, not a good thing. Totally. The federal government was supposed to be a very small, limited government. The military, national defense stuff, and that core rule of law thing, that's what they were supposed to do, nothing else. The rest of it was left to the states. And now it's this massive takeover, and these idiots like Rick Scott. Governor Rick Scott, you're an idiot. I'll say it to your face. Whatever. I don't care. These people surrendering our sovereignty to the federal government and to the Chinese. Governor Scott has halfway sold Florida to China. And you got to go out there and look. I've got some other people who can come on, Neil Rice being one of them. And tomorrow night we have Karen Schoen and American Freedom Watch Radio, who has some good guests talking about the details, where they really explain the details of this Chinese takeover, how we're selling ourselves off. And, well, what, again, you know, what party is Rick Scott to? He's the GOP. He's the, and guess what? The GOP endorses him for re-election. Even though the majority of Republicans, those who are still registered Republicans in Florida, and those who are Tea Partiers, constitutionalists, don't agree. But the GOP, remember, RNC plus DNC equals PNC. The RNC plus the DNC equals the Progressive National Committee. That's what we have today. We have one central party called the Progressive National Committee. They just happen to have two versions out there. You know, you got this right wing, left wing, the donkey, the elephant. But they're all part of the same. I love this logo thing that they made, that they came up with a logo of the donkey on the left, the elephant on the right, circled around the Progressive National Committee. And I just love the fact that Glenn Beck is out there ranting all over the place, defund the GOP, and do not accept. Do not just go along, hold your nose, and vote for the GOP. And if the GOP refuses to change its ways, I have to say, I truly believe if this continues as it is right now, Hillary Clinton has a very good chance of getting elected, which is pretty scary. But I'm not going to vote for Chris Christie. And, I mean, it was kind of funny because Glenn Beck was out there saying, I am not voting for Chris Christie. No way, I am not doing that again. You know, he was a supporter of Romney. He wasn't a fan of Romney's, but he did because he didn't want Obama in there again. He did, as so many do, hold your nose and vote for the Republican, even though a Republican is a liberal progressive and blah, blah, blah. And he did it anyway, but he said he's not doing it again. And I love it because I've been saying this for years. I left the Republican Party back in 05, 06, no party affiliate, George Washington tools. I said, I do not donate to the Republican Party. And again, I'll say, when you think of the Republican Party and these various factions that have taken over this country and what they have been given power to do to this country, veterans, is that what you were fighting for? Let's see, what else? Let's see, I kind of got off track here, some relation of power. State is force. That is what people are attempting to do through a third party, the state. Causes gray hair. Yeah, Obama sure does have a lot of gray hair. And you know what? I think he's smoking those cigarettes again. Now, he has made a point to not smoke them in public. And, of course, you know, he doesn't have to have Obamacare for his insurance. So he's got plenty of, if he gets lung cancer, he's got plenty of insurance. And then the lying, of course, the enemy from within. I don't think we can stress enough the enemy from within. Al-Qaeda by itself is not the threat to the United States of America. It's the enemy from within that allow the Fort Hood routine to go on, to allow the United Nations to take over our land, to allow the Muslim Brotherhood to invade this country via multiple borders. But there's massive. Based on what was being discussed on the show a couple weeks ago, last week, last Tuesday, the week before, 90% of those coming in over the southern border are Muslim Brotherhood, Chinese nationals, people who hate us, and want to invade this country. And there's going to be a massive invasion. And, I mean, we're already being invaded. The invasion has already taken place. Just depends on how much more we're going to allow them to take over. And what we saw happen in Boston is going to be across this whole country. I personally have no doubt that's what will eventually happen. I don't. The Boston Massacre was just a test run. Now, you know, 9/11, that was a lot. They did their test runs. Remember about the bomb on the, well, one, there was the bomb in the World Trade Center at one other point. And then there was also the USS Cole, where that was another bombing. Those were their times to see how far they could get, what was going to be the public outrage, what was going to be the attitude about it, and that kind of thing. And so then, based on all these different things, they were learning the tricks of the trade. What's the best way to attack? Take over the airplanes. And how did they do it? several airplanes at the same time, strategic timing. And now it's not, they know the, well, like I said, I've made my own jokes about TSA. I feel safer when it comes to airports because I believe more Americans are paying more attention. Just like the Americans who paid attention to that car in Times Square that time. It's the Americans who are actually noting what's going on more so than TSA as a whole. So now they're going to be a little bit more hesitant to try another airport routine, even though we've seen some others go through the airport trying to see if they were going to make it, and they got caught. So I don't think so, but that's when you had to go to Plan B, which is this on-the-ground type bomb thing with these pressure cookers. And I can't help, every time I go into a store and I see pressure cookers now, it's like, oh, well, I remember what they did. But that was this other training. This is all training for them. So now they've done that, and they're going to perfect it. They're going to go to whatever it is. They're either going to perfect their pressure cooker bomb, cooking bombs or whatever, or come up with some other, and I can just, I don't know. You tell me out there in the chat room, tell me, what do you think is going to happen next? To my belief, it'll either be some kind of, it won't be a Christmas holiday because people are at home with families. There's not nearly the big gatherings, so per se. But you do have other holidays and events, New Year's, where there's these massive games all over the place, massive parties, whether it's New Year's, where you've got people in congested areas all over the place, major groupings of people. New Year's, I think, is probably one of the biggies. July 4th is another one, which is Independence Day, and where you have a lot of people on all across the country going to groups. And wouldn't that be when they would go out there and plant the stuff? If what they did with just taking the Boston Massacre as their test run, and Boston was the perfect city to do it because there's no guns. All the crazy gun rights, gun laws, gun control, the people were defenseless. So they took that as the perfect target as their training. That was training for these nutcases. So anti-Americans. I really shouldn't call them nutcases. They're anti-Americans. They hate America. But too bad we don't have a military to protect us from them. Our military is someplace else. Fool me once, yep. And when my parents immigrated to the U.S., they had to be sponsored. Well, you know, and remember Glenn Beck had the German family? They were sponsored. They were here illegally, but they were being deported. It's sick. This is what you fought for? You fought to protect the illegal invasion of this country, and you fought to harm those who come here legally seeking a better life and seeking religious freedom. So we're going to condemn those people while we let the Muslim Brotherhood invade the country. This is what's happening. Is this, veterans, please tell me, is this what you were fighting for? You believed in. Is this what you believe in today? Let the Muslim Brotherhood invade. Take all the illegals, let them invade. Let La Raza take over the Southwest. La Raza is, you know, it's, while I think what La Raza does and all this other nonsense, their crap is ridiculous. Them taking over the Alamo and this kind of stuff. But the part that I kind of think the most when I think of La Raza, I try to compare La Raza with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Chinese Nationals. Now, you out there, those of you out there in that chat room, tell me your answer. Do you truly think La Raza stands any chance to defeat the Muslim Brotherhood? You would think La Raza would want to embrace being Americans and work with the Americans to protect this homeland. But no, they want to take back the Alamo. Well, guess what? The Muslim Brotherhood isn't going to let you take over the Alamo. Are we going to have enough people in this, enough veterans, a military, who defend this country to stop the Muslim Brotherhood when they take over? Because this is what's happening. Let's see. The statistics regarding TSA effectiveness is appalling. Yep. Biggest waste of money. And just so everybody knows, remember who did that? Because I'm here in Central Florida, I can tell you firsthand who was the godfather of TSA. good old yucky John Micah, representative, so-called representative John Micah. He is the godfather of TSA. Was the chair on the transportation. John Micah has been one of the most corrupted, evil Republicans out there. I can't stand the guy, and I sure hope somebody runs against him. But you've got Huckabee out there and the likes of the GOP establishment, the Karl Rove, the Huckabees, who don't really believe in the Constitution. They just do a lot of spewing about it, Huckabee does on his show. But they don't really believe in it. The GOP establishment comes first, who prop up the likes of a John Micah. John Micah acted like he cared about wasting money when he was out there talking about the empty buildings. This is where I'm telling you, you can't trust Fox News. If Fox News wasn't bought and paid for by the Republican the establishment, such as the Mike Huckabees out there and the Karl Rove, if they had the courage and the guts and actually any decency, they would. Micah, well, first off, ask him a lot about the TSA. How did that work out for us? And then the other is, well, wait a minute. Aren't you the one who's funding billions of dollars into rail transit that doesn't work just like Amtrak? And by the way, wasn't it your daughter that got $13 million in earmarks for some transportation bill? And by the way, aren't you the one who's putting tolls on the interstates now, even though you swore down you didn't believe in it? Please, dear Lord, give us somebody to run against this idiot John Micah. He's bad news every which way. But just know that's what the GOP likes. That's who they endorse. They endorse crap like John Micah. Can't stand the guy. I can say this because I'm right here in Central Florida. Scam Rail is what we have. Scam Rail. He twisted the arm of Rick Scott. Rick Scott did back off on the high-speed rail crap that was going to cost billions of dollars. But then John Micah said, well, he wasn't going to decide on funding for the Miami port improvements until Rick Scott signed the deal for SunRail, which is Scam Rail. Scam Rail was from Volusia County to Kissimmee, from Daytona Beach to Disney area, basically, for those of you who aren't familiar. And this is, would you call it a conservative would say, well, you know what? Those people that live in Daytona Beach, they have a right to have a free ride over to Walt Disney World if that's where they want to work. This is a Republican doing this. This is a progressive National Committee Republican, John Micah. Please, dear Lord, give us somebody to run against that idiot here in Florida and stop the crap with the P. Okay, let's see. And we do have another guest out there. They've popped in and out a couple of times out there in that chat room. Well, there they go. They're coming and going. Not sure if they're having connectivity issues or what. But let's see what else. And we're down to about 10 minutes here. Okay, Data Mad Granny Chat. Many believe that the legal immigrants are going to be the saviors of this country because they can see what's happening. Okay, legal immigrants. Okay, yes. And I said something a little bit to that effect earlier. Where those of us who were born here are not paying attention and not listening to those of us who are not blind to the takeover. That's so true. And I believe it was Glenn Beck that I first heard say that. I'm not sure if it was him or somebody else, but Mark Levin or one of them. But I believe that's true. Oh, annoying cousin had to run. It's okay. Oh, well, sorry I didn't catch it in time to say goodbye, but goodbye. I do believe that's true. I do believe it's those who were fleeing oppression, fleeing communism to America, who still know what it is, who will try to wake up the American people who have become fat and lazy. Those who don't understand, don't appreciate what freedom is. They think it just automatically grows on trees, and it doesn't. So I definitely agree with that. And I look for those people. I truly embrace those who truly understand and appreciate freedom. And if you're here legally and you want to protect what you came here for, that's what we need. And let's see, likely the case, that was another comment from my annoying cousin. And then Karl Rove was known to be a communist when I was a kid. I remember my dad talking about him. That makes all the sense in the world. I would love to see more of an article on Karl Rove on his communism, because the Bush, he's right there with in bed with the Bush family, and the Bush family has a history of communism. And that's one of those things, you get people out there and look at you like you're a nutcase. The Bush aren't communists. Well, aiding Hitler, what do you think that is? Common Core, what do you think that is? Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, a.k.a. the North American Union, what do you think that is? And then we get into the wars of what Bush did, the true meaning of what these wars are. The Bushes are communists. And it only makes sense that Karl Rove would be a communist as well. So they have to play the game and manipulate the process. They play the game and manipulate it just as much as Obama. They really do. It's the likes of the GOP establishment, like the Karl Roves out there. Their game is a little bit different than Obama, but they're playing by the same rules, the same manipulation, the same rhetoric, brainwashing people, and then it's a hit and run. We tell you one thing, we do another. Okay, and let's see. Oh, my. After we're on, thanks for doing the show. Good stuff. And, well, hopefully Annoying Peasant will be on call-in or join the chat room next time. Okay, we are getting down to the last few minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and, let's see, I wanted to actually read one other thing here, if I can find my other copy of Being an American, and asking our veterans, is that what they were fighting for? And as usual, I'm not quite as ready as I should be, but here we go. I do not choose to be common. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I want to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed. I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for benefits, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threats. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and to act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creations, and to face the world boldly and say, this I have done. All this is what it means to be an American. This is my creed by Dan Alfanage, something like that. That is what veterans fight for. Is that what you were fighting for? Is that what you put your life on the line for? Is that what you believe in? What you believe in today? Do you take the American's creed? I do. So on this Veterans Day, thank you for everything these veterans have done. May God continue to bless the USA. I sure hope so. And dear Lord, help us keep the kind of military, make sure our military, our veterans, protect the American people. Please do not let them be overtaken by those of the Communist Party, those of the Progressive National Committee. And on that note, we've got Damn Mad Granny Taft. I wish we could have a war on communists in this country like they did in the 30s and 40s. I think that's when we have 67 known card-holding members of the Communist Party. This is true. Communism is taking over. And most Americans, they think something about the way the Chinese are or the way the Russians were. They don't truly understand what communism, common property, part of the, you are a piece of the community, you are property of the community, commune, community, common core, common property, no individual. You have no individual rights to own property. That is a right you have in this country. You have the right to own property. In a communist society, you do not have the right to own property. No personal private property. And this is Ms. Mad Granny Taft. Any last word, because what I'm going to do, once we wrap this up in just a minute, I'm going to go ahead and play either God Bless America or Lee Greenwood, God Bless, you know what it is. Jeez, can't even think of it now. God Bless the USA. And the other one is My Name is America. So which one of those would you like to hear? We'll play one of those at the end here for today. And that's going to wrap it up. So do you have a preference, and do you have any final words of wisdom you would like to share on this Veterans Day, Ms. Texas? And we look forward to when you get your phone back. Great show. You've hit and covered it all. Great. What about songs? Any preference? Yeah, one last. God bless our veterans, most definitely. God bless and thank them for everything they do. And I hope they're prepared to continue to defend us, because I think we're going to need it. I think we are going to need it. So, let's see here. I'm going to play My Name is America. And let me know if you can hear that. Can you hear that okay, or is it still too low?
Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open. Dreamers and friends, but when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. Earth me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the place. And I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. My strength was not taken. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious become my mind and soul, because my name is America. I stand proud and free. My name is America. All tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger. And I'll rise up from the flame. And I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. Those who need me, I'll always be here. For those who will harm me, I'll face without fear. And I'll always be proud and free.
America. Yes, America.